Good evening. We're glad to see that Jack is here tonight. Jack, are you comfy? I want to make sure you're comfy back there, Jack. Doesn't bother me a bit to be standing throughout while you're sitting. Well, I'm not ready to pick on Barbara just yet. Barbara might be able to catch me. I just don't think Jack can quite catch me yet. For the past few times that I have been privileged to teach, we worked on James, and we will continue with James chapter 4 tonight. Most of you are aware that, Jesus was probably born in 6 A.D. Now, when I was in school, all my teachers told me that A.D. meant after death. And it does not. It actually means... Is there anyone in here who is Italian? Or okay, what is it? Anno Domini? Ado Domini? I'll take her word for it, okay? You're Italian. It... Oh, okay. B.C. does mean before Christ. But I was taught all the way through school that A.D. means after death, and it does not. Probably, most theologians believe that Jesus was born in 6 A.D., somewhere between 2 and 6. Most of them think it was in 6 A.D. Now, remember the last time we talked, we determined that there were also a large number of theologians who said that James wrote his book in possibly early 40 A.D. Now, if that is true, and Jesus was born in 6, and he lived for 33 years before his crucifixion, that would mean he died in 39 A.D., and James's book could have been written within a year of the time that Jesus was crucified on the cross. How many translations of the Bible do most of you focus on? Probably you have two or three, but what do you focus on mostly? King James, King James Version. Junho? Two or three, it just depends on which translation speaks.
I use about three.
Okay, Jack? Two, Renee,
New
the New Living,
NIV,
okay.
Near
Italian lady, okay. New Living, okay.
Here's a New World translation.
New World, the rest of you.
Okay.
I think that may be one of them, from the tone.
I got the old King James, but...
The original King James.
Just because someone bought it for me, I would like to have the new King James.
I think that was a hint about as broad as it can get.
Okay. I want to know, what would be the best translation to carry in the...
The one you can understand.
You
carry in the bookstore.
You have a good selection in there.
You carry in the bookstore the...
Well, I have a tendency to look more at New King James than others because that's what we use inside our church study. But I, the other day, started reading this in the Contemporary English Version, and I found it much easier to understand. How many of you know why the King James Version is so difficult to understand, or big parts of it? And it's almost a direct translation, and therefore they did not get the verbs all. Another thing is that, remember, all of the letters were written as letters straight through, and there was no way to say go to Isaiah 38 and verse so and so. Now it is said, and I won't argue with it, the way it is laid out, that King James had one of his servants divided into chapters and verses, as he rode a mule taking another message for King James across England. And when you look at some of the divisions of the books and the verses, you can believe it was done while riding a mule. Yep. And most of the others are not. You have to be very careful and not get them out of context also in King James, but it is easier to translate one at a time. Sometimes when I read whatever it is, I have trouble getting started. I have so much trouble getting started. And I find that if I finally just start reading, then God will provide some kind of teaching material. I think maybe I'm trying to decide, now what do I have in my head that I can bring to the people that night, whatever that night might be, and it's just not there. And I have many changes. I like one book one week, and the next week, no, I would prefer that book, and I have a favorite verse, and the litany goes on. I want all of you to turn to James 3:13-18. That's one of the things that we studied last week. And when you get that, we'll have a word of prayer. Remember that King James was probably the first written, possibly anyway, but it was the last canonized Catholic or general letter. And James addressed his letter to all the 12 tribes of Israel. Therefore, it was not to a specific person. Maybe one of the reasons it was not canonized until later. Look at 13 and 18. Who's willing to read that for me? Thank you. Remember last time we discussed that this and this cannot come from the same heart. That is some of the ugliest, most putrid-smelling stuff in the world. That is one of the sulfur hills at Yellowstone National Park, the big one. That is sweet, wonderful water that runs all the time. Those just don't come. Those don't come from the same place. I don't think so. Renee, will you come up for just a minute, please, and write on this? Go back over 13 and 18 and give her, on the left-hand side, write the things that come from heavenly wisdom. And then on the right-hand side, let's write the things that come from our own personal wisdom. What are the elements of heavenly wisdom that he points out? What? Good conduct. Gentleness. Well, honey, you know, we're in a hurry. She hasn't been in the classroom in a long time. She could write 7 words a minute in the classroom. Unwavering. Righteousness. Okay. All right. All right, let's move to the other side. What are the things that come from wisdom that we want to call wisdom, but it is actually ourselves? Self-seeking.
Envy.
Envy.
Life.
What?
Life.
And by the way, I think that's one of the first ones that you see confusion in the heart, in the mouth, in the spoken word. They
Earthly. They
have a lot of trouble knowing what they're trying to say. Earthly. Excuse me?
Selfish ambition.
Selfish ambition. When we look at CEV1, it reads like this, and this is contemporary English version. Why do you fight and argue with each other? Isn't it because you are full of selfish desires that fight to control your body? What would you say is when there is conflict between 2 people or 10 people? What is the root cause, you think? Okay, the word, what? That's the same word I was thinking of, and that is selfishness. We want what we want. We want it right now, and we don't want anybody to get in our way. Is that going to happen with your neighbor? Sometimes. Is that going to happen with a fellow church member? Sometimes. Is that going to happen with your spouse? Nah, that would never happen. No. Well, I'm... Okay, I'll quit. I will quit. Sometimes you just have to turn your back, don't you? Sometimes you just have to play the hero and you turn and walk away. Sometimes you just have to say, you may be right. Sometimes there are a lot of things you have to do. And sometimes, wait a minute, what happened? Oh, right there it is. Sometimes you just have to extend grace beyond belief. I got that. Sometimes you just say, okay. Now, I have seen people that looked almost, not quite, but almost that bad. And I've heard of churches that actually split over it. They get into such a row that they get angry with each other and part of them say, I'm just not going to have anything, and they'll go somewhere else. I've seen cases where that church then became a strong church and they said, see, we were right. No. God will never promote strife in a church. That is beyond Him. There may be strife, but He's not going to promote it. What God did when that group split off and went somewhere else, what did He do? He took the situation, He put His hands on it, and He turned it around. And He made a really bad situation into something that was wonderful, and only God can do that. Now, that is what we just dealt with. Did you know that there were that many things in those few verses? When it happens in the church, this is what we look like. When it happens with a neighbor, that's what we look like. Sometimes it's even more like that. I have a lot of graphics that I like to play with.
I like to do that to my neighbor's
dog.
To the dog, not the
neighbor.
We get into all kinds of trouble because of our selfishness. This is what a man said. Charles Sumner was leader of the anti-slavery movement in Massachusetts. So this was before war was nearly as expensive as it is now. And selfishness, by the way, is what leads to wars too. What was the main thing in World War II? What was the main reason that we had World War II?
Property.
And he, Hitler, wanted to rule the world. Selfishness. This is what Sumner said. About the time of the Civil War, give me the money that has been spent in war, and I will clothe every man, woman, and child in an attire of which kings and queens would be proud. I will build a schoolhouse in every valley over the whole earth. I will crown every hillside with a place of worship consecrated to the gospel of peace. I will support in every pulpit an able teacher of righteousness, so that on every Sabbath morning the chime on one hill should answer to the chime on another around the earth's wide circumference, and the voice of prayer and the song of praise should ascend like a universal holocaust on heaven. Now, I'm glad I'm in a church where there's never any tension. June Ho and Karen never have tension. There's never any tension between an elder and his spouse or an elder and anybody else. Never any tension between a wife and her husband. Although if there was, I could think of one. Renee and I put in a new faucet on Monday. She was the plumber and I was the straightener and I got it crooked and it was Tuesday morning. She said, Jerry, this thing is crooked. And I said, well, let's fix it. No. Tuesday morning, I want to fix it now. And she said, no. Could we possibly get to it tomorrow morning, Renee? Okay. All right. I was hoping. These are the reasons and the things we fight for. What should be our first resource? when we want something. Go to God in prayer. And these are the things we want. Why don't we get those things? We pray for them. Or we used to. Maybe we're... That's right. There's nothing up there that is not selfish. I put a train up there for Jack. I put a gun up there. Did I get everybody covered at least in one way? I know Son is crazy for dogs. I put her dog up there.
I don't see any fishing pole or golf club.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
see, there's tension in the church because I left something out. One of you... No, I didn't put a guitar. Maybe I'll be more complete the next time. This is the way we should be, though, when we ask. This is going to the Lord in prayer for the things that He wants us to want. Is it safe to say that? God wants us to want the right things. And out of selfishness, we want the wrong things. Let me read verse 2, and then somebody else be prepared to read verse 3. James 4:2, you want something you don't have, and you will do anything to get it. You will even kill, but you still cannot get what you want, and you won't get it by fighting and arguing. You should pray for it. Now, most of you know that I spent my teaching career in Atlanta, Georgia. It was uncommon, but not uncommon enough that there would be fights over somebody getting a new pair of tennis shoes. Tennis shoes! And there would be a brawl in the hall because Joe got a new pair of tennis shoes and I don't have any and I'm going to have to tear his up. That was not uncommon. Not uncommon enough anyway. When we want something, we want it right now. Renee and I knew a couple of twins. I think, like, who were the twin boys that were preachers? Dean Dickens. Dickens was one of them. See if you recognize the kind of prayer he admitted that he had on occasion. He would say, get ready for bed, and he'd go to his bed, and he was exhausted, and he was tired, and he would say, God, you heard my prayer last night. I want the same thing tonight. Amen. And jump in the bed. He was just too tired. Charles Spurgeon, I think it was, used to say that if he had too much to do the next day, he had to get up extra early. And once said, I had to get up at 3 o'clock because I had to pray all the way through those things before I started working on them. And I'm afraid that I want to get all the rest I possibly can. What is the use of money? Why do we want money? What is it good for? Is it things? It should be a tool for what? For what? It's a necessity for some of the things of the life that in this kind of world. But the main reason we should want it is to save us, to help ourselves, to help others. That's exactly right. How many of you have ever heard of Josh Billings? Anybody? I'll tell you. Ron, you haven't heard of Josh Billings? You would have heard of Josh Billings if it had not been for Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain. Josh Billings would have been known as the great comedian of the era, except for Mark Twain, who so overshadowed him. Josh Billings one time said, money will buy you a pretty good dog, but it won't buy the wag of its tail. That's true with a lot of things we think we want to love. Somebody read for me verse 3.
You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Okay. Now, how many of you know what a loft is? Okay. A few of you know what a loft is. Those of you who live in Arizona may not. That's the loft right there. The top of the church is right along there, and the rest of it is known as a loft. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not. Sometimes in a church, you know, we pray, and we pray for people to hear us. Now, it's said that back in Georgia, there were several churches that had a leak one year. and they hired some people to go up and fix the leak. And they got up there, and guess what they found? Whole bunch of prayers laying around that did not get out of the roof. They had hit like that and fallen back down because they were asked amiss. Have you ever heard anyone pray and they pray about God instead of to God? One guy that I knew real well in his Sunday morning prayer at church always referred to God as not you, but he referred to he and him every time he prayed the morning prayer, and he was a pastor of a fairly large church. And he did not realize it. I'm sure he did not. He was a good man, but he had just gotten into the habit of praying that morning prayer so that the people in the congregation would pay attention to the prayer and not him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember that. You remember that, about 15 years ago? They went through this phase with telepreachers on pray with boldness, and they literally ordered God around. You will do this. You told us to pray with... And I just don't think that's what he had in mind. I think he meant you pray for things that you really know in your heart you can't accomplish, but know that... No, I remember that, and... I hardly ever watched them, but it was entertaining sometimes to watch that. I stayed back from the TV just in case the lightning could come all the way. How do you love the world? Somebody read verse 4.
You adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God.
Now, I know nobody in our church would ever be the kind of person. And I'm glad to be a member of a church like that, where we never want things that God doesn't want us to have. God wants us to have the best gun in the world, waiting for the rogue. He wants us to have the nicest super cab pickup in the world, just like mine. He wants us to have plenty of money in our pocket. He wants us to have the biggest this and the best that. That's what he wants us to have. But is that what he wants us to have, or is that what we want to have? I'm afraid that sometimes we do. I'm going to deal with one more because we're going to have communion in a few minutes. Somebody read for me verse 5, and then I'll save the rest of it until next time. Anybody? This verse has given theologians probably as much difficulty as any verse in the Bible, because he refers to the Scripture. Now, if James wrote the first book of the New Testament, or even close to it, he could not be referring to Scripture of the New Testament, right? Do I have my timeline straight? If his was the first or near the first, when he said that, he could not be referring to Scripture that was in the New Testament. And there are only a few sparse Scriptures to which he could be referring. Somebody read. Renee, will you look up Genesis 6:5 and then skip over and do Genesis 8:21, and then I need somebody to look up Numbers 11:29. These are things that they have thought possibly he was referring to, even though they don't mean the same thing. When you read commentaries, Barnes is, I think, my favorite. It used to be Adam Clark, but I have become more interested in Barnes. And Barnes says the difficulty with knowing what James was talking about has arisen from the fact that no such passage as that which seems here to be quoted is found in the Old Testament. And then you add to that that it could not have been, or probably could not have been, the First Testament. They're not sure. One of the things they think is that later someone scribbled in the margin on the long piece of paper something that referred to that, and that it was included. Okay, next time we'll deal with this gentleman, with that gentleman, and with this gentleman. Which one are we?